بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. الحمد لله. This is the 52nd part of our Seerah Nabawiyyah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam course. Inshallah, we talked about last week. We went over the remaining areas and locations that were recorded. The recorded locations where the Prophet either passed by or stopped at during the sacred journey of the Hijrah to Medina Munawwara. And today, inshallah, we're going to be talking about the arrival in Quba, or arrival in Medina Munawwara. So one thing about Quba, one thing about Medina Munawwara, the name, we know it was called what? What was it called before it got the name Medina? Yathrib, barakallahu fik. Okay, so Yathrib was the name. And it wasn't an enclosed city with walls. It was basically neighborhoods, different neighborhoods. Some of them spread out, some of them together. And these settlements, or these different tribes, had these settlements spread out in this oasis of Yathrib. And oasis is basically, I'm sure you know, it's basically in the middle of the desert where there's water, where you can find some water. So this was a famous stop also for travelers would be coming from Yemen or from Makkah, Mukarramah, for example, and they'd be traveling north. Medina was a famous spot where they would stop, and then they would continue on to Sham, to the north. So we're talking about the arrival of the Prophet ﷺ. We talked about the different things that happened during the sacred journey of Hijrah. And now the Prophet ﷺ is arriving in Medina Munawwara itself. So he settled first. He came upon a place, and I'm sure everyone is familiarized with themselves with this place and well familiar with the Masjid Quba. This is a place which is about 3 miles south of Medina Munawwara. So when you're coming, entering into Medina Munawwara, the first place, basically the first main place that you pass by is Masjid Quba. You probably saw it on your right, a big, huge masjid. I'm sure everybody has been there to pray there also. So Quba is to the south of Medina Munawwara, and that is the first place where the Prophet ﷺ, when he entered into Medina, that's basically one of the neighborhoods of Medina. And when we say he entered into Medina, Quba being a part of Medina, that's basically what we mean. But the Prophet ﷺ did stay a period of 14 days in Quba, and then he proceeded to the main city, or the inner city, the, you could say the center of Medina itself. Now, one thing we know, the Prophet ﷺ, when he left from Mecca, there were people spread out everywhere in search of the Prophet ﷺ, searching for the bounty, trying to get the 100 camels for each head. For the Prophet ﷺ, 100 camels, 100 camels for Abu Bakr Siddiq Radhan. So people knew that he had left Mecca. The people of Ansar, the people of Medina Munawwara, and the Muhajirun had left before the Prophet ﷺ, they also knew. So they would actually exit from their houses, and they would go out to meet, basically to look for the Prophet ﷺ and try to welcome him when he came. So the first hadith that we have about this is that the Prophet ﷺ, سَمِعَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ بِالْمَدِينَ بِمَخْرَجِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ ﷺ مِنْ مَكَّةِ. So they heard about the Prophet ﷺ leaving Mecca. فَكَانُوا يَغْدُونَ كُلَّ غَدَاتٍ إِلَى الْحَرَّةِ فَيَنْتَذِرُونَ حَتَّى يَرُدَّهُمْ حَرُّ الْذَهِيرَةِ. So the Muslims of Medina Munawwara would go out every single morning, okay, awaiting the approach of the Prophet ﷺ, the arrival of the Prophet ﷺ, and they would go out to the Harra, they would go out to the outskirts of the city, basically, and they would wait for the Prophet ﷺ from morning, okay, like after Fajr, all the way to Dhahira. That means when the moon, when the sun gets basically starts get rising up almost to the zenith, and it gets really hot. So then they would have to go back to their homes because it was too hot. So they would do this every single morning. And one day, as they're going back to their homes, there was a Jewish man who was on top of an utum. Utum is basically the houses of Medina Munawwara, and these are the people the Jewish people of Medina. They have these utum. These are kind of like the apartment buildings that we have now, 3-4 story buildings, tall buildings. And one of the Jewish men was upon this building, and he spots the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فبصر برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه مبيضين يزول بهم السراب. So the Prophet ﷺ is coming, approaching, and Mubayyadin, he sees these people approaching, and they had white clothes on. Remember, Zubair ibn Awam radhiyallahu was coming back from Sham, from Syria, and he met the Prophet ﷺ on the way, and he gifted him white clothing. He gifted Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu and the companion and the Prophet ﷺ, he gifted them these white clothing, and they put that on just before they were entering into Medina Munawwara. And this man saw them, Mubayyadin, yazulu bihim as-sarab. That yazulu bihim as-sarab, as-sarab is basically the, what's it called? In the desert you have this, what was it? Mirage, barakallahu feek. So the mirage, when you look out in the desert, and it looks like fumes, or it looks like some kind of thing moving, and sometimes you'll see water, like if you're really thirsty or something, you'll see water, for example, or whatever. So yazulu bihim as-sarab, the mirage was moving with them, and he saw them. So he calls out, he says, ya ma'ashara al-arab, oh the people, the Arab people, hadha jaddukum alladhi tantadhirun. That this is your father, or your meaning your grandfather or father, this is the one that you have been waiting for. He's here, basically. فَثَارُ الْمُسْلِمُونَ إِلَى السِّلَاحِ فَتَلَقَّوا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِذَهِ الْحَرَّةِ. Then the Muslims, they went home, not home, they went, they grabbed their weapons, and they went out in excitement to meet the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And they met him. One of the famous things that's narrated about this arrival of the Prophet ﷺ, and I'm sure everyone has heard this nasheed before, where the girls, the young girls, went out singing. And this is not something that was planned. It wasn't something like a chorus, or like they had these people getting together and memorizing a poem or anything like that. It was fil bidi', meaning that they did it without any practice. It was just something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in their hearts, and they sang this. They said, "Tala'a al-badru 'alayna min thaniyat al-wada', wajaba ash-shukru 'alayna ma da'a lillahi da'." So "Tala'a al-badru 'alayna," meaning that the badr, the full moon, has come upon us, has risen upon us. "Min thaniyat al-wada'," from the thaniyat al-wada', this is one of the places. "Wajaba ash-shukru 'alayna," and shukr and thanks to this Prophet is wajib upon us. Ma da'a lillahi da'a. There is no one who has called upon to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like he has. Ayyuhal mab'uthu fina, O the one who has been sent to us. Jit'ta bil amr al muta'. You have been sent with the thing that is to be followed. Jit'ta sharraft al Madina. You came and you have enlightened and you have honored the city of Medina. Marhaban ya khayra da', that welcome, O the one, the best of callers, the best of the callers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, this is a very beautiful lines of poetry, and they did this without any practice, and they started singing this as the Prophet ﷺ approached and came into Medina Munawwara. One of the things we learned from the Sahabi Al-Bara ibn Azib radhiyallahu anhu, he says that ma ra'aytu ahl al-Madina farihu bi shay'in farahahum bi rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, I never saw the people of Medina Munawwara happier than that day or that time when they saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When they was entering into Medina, they weren't happier than that day when he entered into Medina. And Anas ibn Malik radhiyallahu anhu, he tells us in a hadith, he says that shahidtuhu yawma dakhala al-Madina. I witnessed the Prophet enter into Medina Munawwara. Fama ra'aytu yawman qat kana ahsana wala adwa min yawmin dakhala al-Madina alayna. That I haven't seen any more beautiful day or enlightened day than the day when the Prophet entered into Medina. Wa shahidtuhu yawma mata, and I was there as a witness when the Prophet ﷺ passed away. فَمَا رَأَيْتُ يَوْمًا قَطُّ كَانَ أَقْبَحَ وَلَا أَذْلَمْ مِنْ يَوْمٍ مَاتَ فِيهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. I did not see a day that was more ugly or more horrific and ugly and more dark than the day when the Prophet ﷺ passed away. And another hadith, Anas ibn Malik radhan, remembering that day when the Prophet ﷺ came into Medina Munawwara. Remember, he was only 10 years old when he witnessed the Prophet ﷺ coming into Medina Munawwara. And he says in another hadith, لَمَّا كَانَ الْيَوْمَ الَّذِي دَخَلَ فِيهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So when that day came, when the Prophet ﷺ entered into Medina, أَضَاءَ مِنْهَا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, he enlightened everything in it. Meaning everything in Medina, it was as if it was dark. Just imagine like a dark night. And then the full moon comes out. There's clouds. Everything's dark, and then the clouds disappear, and the full moon is at its brightest, and everything lights up from the light of the Badr, of the full moon. So he says that everything lit up from the radiance of the Prophet ﷺ. فَلَمَّا كَانَ الْيَوْمَ الَّذِي مَاتَ فِيهِ أَظْلَمَ مِنَ الْمَدِينَةِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. He says that the day when the Prophet ﷺ passed away, everything became dark. Everything became dark again. Another riwayah comes, فَلَمْ أَرَى يَوْمًا أَقْبَحَ مِنْهُ فَمَا فَرَغْنَا مِنْ دَفْنِهِ حَتَّى أَنْكَرْنَا قُلُوبَنَا. He says that we had not even come back and dusted our hands off from the dust of burying the Prophet ﷺ. That أَنْكَرْنَا قُلُوبَنَا. We have seen a change, a spiritual change in our hearts already because the Prophet ﷺ has left. Now, we know that the Prophet ﷺ, again and again, he's described with this radiant face, with this beautiful face. And we have Ma'bad radiallahu anha, you know, during the Hijrah. I talked about how the first words that she described the Prophet ﷺ, the first words that she used to describe the Prophet ﷺ to her husband, Zahir al-Wada'a, that he was of handsome complexion, meaning he was beautiful, he was just extremely beautiful and handsome. So we know that the Prophet ﷺ, he was like the full moon. His face was like the full moon. He was like the Badr. And that's why they said, Tala al Badru alayna, the Badr, the full moon has come upon us. And another beautiful explanation or description of the Prophet ﷺ is the poem of Hassan ibn Thabit radhiyallahu anhu. This is very famous, I'm sure you've heard this before, in poetry form or even in anashid, where Hassan radhiyallahu anhu says, وَأَحْسَنَ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَقَتُ عَيْنِي, and more beautiful than you, my eyes have never set upon anything more beautiful than you, have never seen anything more beautiful than the Prophet ﷺ. وَأَجْمَلَ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءُ, and more handsome and more beautiful than the Prophet ﷺ, no woman has ever given birth. خُلِقْتَ مُبَرَّأً مِنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ, you have been created مُبَرَّأً, meaning clear from any type of deficiency, كُلَّ عَيْبٍ, any type of deficiency, any type of عَيْب. كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ, as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He was creating you, He asked you, how would you want to be created? And He created you like that. Meaning He created you in a perfect manner. So this is the nur of the Prophet ﷺ, the face that came, the beautiful face and the blessed face of the Prophet ﷺ, the radiance that came from that. And one thing we know is that the Prophet ﷺ, if you look at Shama'il Tirmidhi, if you look at the different books of the description of the Prophet ﷺ, he wasn't like really white in nature. He had a, you could say, brownish complexion, but what it was, that whiteness that the people, what people saw in his face, was the radiance, the nur from his iman, the nur from his being, the nur from his soul. That's what the nur that is talked about every time they see that. So a person can be dark in complexion, but they can have nur radiating from their face. They can say, when you look at them, you feel attracted to that person. Not physically like that, but love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts. Remember the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called, when He loves someone, the Prophet subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves someone, He calls Jibreel and He says that, Inni uhibbu fulan, that I love this person, fa'ahibba, so you love him. And then Jibreel alayhi salam calls out to the angels and says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves so and so, so you all love him. And then the nuzul, his qubul comes down, meaning that it's that love of this person spreads out to the pious people amongst the people. They love this person, they're attracted to that person just because of the nur that comes from within. And that's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. Now, one of the things the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he came into Medina Munawwara, when he finally arrived and he sat down to rest, Abu Bakr Siddiq was obviously he was next to the Prophet ﷺ, and actually people did not recognize. Remember, most of the people in Medina, we talked about how it was 6, then 12, then 72 people from Medina came for the Bay'ah, Bay'atul Aqaba, Ula and Thania. And most of the people in Medina, the people who had become Muslim, they never saw the Prophet ﷺ. So they didn't know what he looked like. So they saw that Abu Bakr Adhan, he was younger than the Prophet ﷺ. He was about 2.5 years younger than the Prophet ﷺ, but he looked older. So they thought that that was the Prophet ﷺ. They actually went towards him, they went towards them thinking that Abu Bakr Adhan is the Prophet ﷺ. But until Abu Bakr Adhan, he got up and he started shading the Prophet ﷺ with his upper garment, then they realized that the Prophet ﷺ is actually that young man. And remember I talked about the hadith where I think it was Anas ibn Malik Radhan, he says that Abu Bakr Radhan, whenever the people would, when they were doing hijrah, people were coming and they would recognize Abu Bakr Radhan because they knew him. And they said, Abu Bakr Shaykhun Yu'raf. He was an old man that was known to the people. When Nabiullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Shabun La Yu'raf. That the Prophet ﷺ was a shab, was a young man. Even though he's older than the Prophet ﷺ, but he looked younger than Abu Bakr Radhan. The next section I want to talk about, inshallah, today is the reaction of the Jews of Medina Munawwara. So we know that there were three main Jewish tribes, the Qaynuqa, the Nadir, and the Qurayza. These are the three tribes of the Yahud living in Medina Munawwara. And I think we did talk about in the beginning of the Seerah course when we started, I talked about the Tubba of Yemen. The king of Yemen, and he was one of those who went out, and when he went to Medina Munawwara, the Yahud, the Jewish scholars that were with him, they say there was about 400 plus of them with the king of Yemen, and they sought permission from Tubba that we would like permission to stay and reside in Medina, we can't go on with you further. So he asked them, what's the reason behind that? And they say that we see that this is the place, the muhajir of the Prophet. This is where the last and final messenger, Rasulullah, will make hijrah to. And we want to wait for him for his arrival. So Tubba actually allowed him to do that. And inshallah, I think next week or the following week after that, we'll talk about a letter that was written, inshallah, and given to one of the Sahaba who soon to host the Prophet in his house. In one of the hadith, this is in Dalail al-Nubuwwah, Abu Nu'aym, rahimahullah, he says in his book, An Abi Namla, he says that كانت يهود بني قريظة يدرسون ذكر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في كتبهم. He says that Banu قريظة would study the description of the final messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم in their books. They would study this. ويعلمون الولدان بصفته. And they would describe, they would teach their own children the sifa, the description of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Wasmihi, and they would teach him there his name. Remember, it came in the Ismuhu Ahmad, that they knew the name of the Prophet ﷺ, they knew his description, they knew the physical description of the Prophet ﷺ. So they would teach his name, they would teach his description. Wa muhajarihi, they would teach his final place of hijrah to Il al Madina. They would teach this to their children. Falamma dhahara hasadu wa baghu wa ankaru. But when the Prophet ﷺ finally did arrive into Medina Munawwara, they became jealous. Anybody know why were they jealous? I think I talked about this one time before. Maybe not, no, somewhere else. They were jealous of him because of their ancestry. What's the difference between the ancestry of the Yahud and the ancestry of the Prophet ﷺ? Remember? Yes, yeah, but there's something to do with the children of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Ibrahim alayhi salam had two sons, Ishaq alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam, right? And from Banu Ishaq, from the children of Ishaq alayhi salam, were actually all the prophets from Banu Israel were from the children of Ishaq alayhi salam. And then the final messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, comes from the lineage of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. So that's why they became jealous that he's not from us. He's not from Banu Israel. He's not from the children of Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam, but he's from the children of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. So these tribes, they became jealous and they went against and they basically rejected the Islam and rejected following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. One of Ummahatul Mu'mineen, her name was Safiya bint Huyay ibn Akhtab. Safiya radhiyallahu anha became one of the mothers of the believers. Later on, years later in Khaybar, when the Muslims conquered Khaybar, and she became a wife, she was freed, and she accepted to become the wife of the Prophet ﷺ. So Safiya radhiyallahu anha is actually from the Jews. She was from Banu Nadir, and she actually was born and raised in Medina Munawwara. Now, she says when the Prophet ﷺ actually arrived in Medina, she was maybe 10, 12, some years old at that time. And she says that, كُنْتُ أَحَبَّ وَلَدِي أَبِي إِلَيْهِ, that I was the most beloved of my siblings to my father. وَإِلَىٰ عَمِّي أَبِي يَاسِرِ, and to her uncle, Abi Yasir. So she was the most beloved of all the children to her uncle and to her father. And she says that whenever that I would go to them, whenever I would meet them, even if there were other children around, I was the one that they would pick up because of their extreme love that they had for her. So she says that every time I would go and they would meet me, they would show this love to me. And when the Prophet ﷺ, فَلَمَّا قَدِمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْمَدِينَةِ, when the Prophet ﷺ came, وَنَزَلَ بِقُبَى, and when he went to Quba, فِي بَنِي عَمْرِ بْنِ عَوْفِ, he went to the tribe and he settled there for a few days, for 14 days. She says that my father and my uncle went out. So that first day when the Prophet ﷺ arrived in Quba, the Prophet ﷺ was there, and the father and the uncle of Safiya radhiyallahu anha, they went out. And remember, Huyay ibn Akhtab, the father, he was the leader of the tribe of Banu Nadir. So they go out to meet this Prophet and go meet him and ask him some questions. And a lot of the groups of Jews went out actually to meet the Prophet ﷺ at that time. And they actually stayed, they went out in the morning, this is around the Dhuhr time you could say, and then they stayed with him and stayed and, you know, hearing about the news and listening to everyone and meetings basically throughout the day up to evening when they came back. Now she says that when they came back, فَلَمْ يَرْجِعَ حَتَّى كَانَ غُرُوبَ الشَّمْسِ, so it was about Maghrib time when they came back. So the whole day they were out busy trying to find news about this man who had come from Medina Munawwara, and he says he's a prophet, okay, in their eyes, that's what they're hearing. So they went out, فَأَتَيَا, so they came back, and she says that I went forward to them to meet them, but they completely ignored me. They didn't even look at her. And she knew that something's wrong. She says, like, this never happened before. They love me so much, they wouldn't ignore me like this. But she saw that something that had, you know, preoccupied them, so they were worried about something. And then she says that she heard the conversation between them. So she says that my uncle says to the father, Ahua Hua, is he him? Is he the prophet? And the Huyay ibn Akhtab, he responds by saying, Na'am wallah. He says, I swear by Allah, he is. He is that man that we were waiting for. He is that prophet and that messenger that we have been waiting for. Then the uncle says, Ata'rifu wa tuthbituhu, that do you know, you recognize him and you basically recognize him and you agree that he's a prophet? He says, Na'am. So he says, Fama fi nafsik min. So what are you going to do? What do you think then? What are we supposed to do? The father of Huyay ibn Akhtab responds, Adawatuhu wallahi ma baqit. He says, I will be his enemy until I die. So we see again that they recognized and they knew that he was a prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they rejected the prophet and they rejected the message because of their hasad, because of their jealousy and their of the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another person was hadith of the Salman al-Farsi radhiyallahu anhu, a famous hadith, a very lengthy hadith. I'm not going to go into that by detail, but we know that Salman al-Farsi went through. We talked about that a little bit in detail in the beginning of the course. So Salman al-Farsi, he ended up throughout his life, he ended up in Medina Munawwara. He had a long life, and some scholars actually say that he lived for about 250 years. Allahu A'lam. But I've seen Imam Zahabi, rahimahullah, for example, some other scholars do say he lived a very long life. So he ended up in Medina Munawwara, and he says that he was, remember, he was a slave. So he was enslaved because he was kidnapped and enslaved and sold as a slave. So Salman then says that day I was on top of the tree working in the garden of my master. And as he's working, he says the cousin of my master came running and started talking to my master about this man who had come from Mecca and the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says that I was so overjoyed in hearing. Remember, he was waiting for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was taught from the different rabbis, the different priests, that this final messenger will come, and he was waiting for the Prophet ﷺ to come. So he said that I was so excited. He said I almost fell down from the tree on top of my master. That's how overjoyed he was. But so he climbed down, and he says to the cousin of his master, "What did you just say? Can you just repeat what you just said? What about him?" And the master just basically struck him in the face really hard and said, "What business do you have with this? Go back to work." So he says, "I went back to work," and then he went back secretly at night to meet the Prophet ﷺ, and we'll talk about that inshallah next week. So another hadith is the famous hadith of Abdullah ibn Salam Radhan. This is a famous Jewish rabbi. And he says himself, this is a hadith of Bukhari, he says that, actually there's another incident that happened before this. He says that I was also waiting for this Nabi. He heard about this Nabi approaching and coming, so he wanted to know all about it. So he says that that same day, I was also upon a tree, and he said that he saw the people going forward, and he saw the people at a distance coming, the Prophet ﷺ and his caravan coming forward. So he said that he just excitedly, he just came over. He was overcome with joy, and he says, "Allahu Akbar." Even though he wasn't Muslim, but he says, "Allahu Akbar," and he was so excited that his aunt, her name was Khadija, she says to him that if Musa alayhi salam had arrived, you wouldn't have been so happy. So he says that, but he is a brother of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and he is a prophet. So he explained that to his aunt, and then he goes out to meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and he says that the people in Jafal al-Nas qibalahu, that the people rushed towards the Prophet ﷺ. وَقِيلَ قَدْ قَدِمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ ﷺ. قَدْ قَدِمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ ﷺ. That the Prophet ﷺ has arrived. The Prophet ﷺ has arrived. فَجِئْتُ فِي النَّاسِ لِأَنْظُرَ فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنْتُ. He says that, excuse me, he says that as soon as I went out and I saw the blessed face of the Prophet ﷺ, تَبَيَّنْتُ وَجْهَ. So he saw the blessed face of the Prophet ﷺ. عَرَفْتُ أَنَّ وَجْهَ لَيْسَ بِوَجْهِ كَذَّابٍ. He said, as soon as my eyes set upon the face of the Prophet ﷺ, I knew this is not a face of a liar. This is the first thing. As soon as he sees the Prophet ﷺ, this is what he feels in his heart. He says, this is not a face of a liar. And he says that the first advice of the Prophet ﷺ, the first things that he heard from the blessed mouth of the Prophet ﷺ, that فَكَانَ أَوَّلَ شَيْءٍ سَمِعْتُهُ تَكَلَّمْ. The first thing I heard the Prophet ﷺ say, أَنْ قَالَ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَفْشُوا السَّلَامُ وَأَطِئِمُوا الطَّعَامُ وَصِلُوا الْأَرْحَامُ وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامُ تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ بِالسَّلَامِ. The Prophet ﷺ, again, always in the mode of da'wah. Okay, he just came after a really lengthy journey, tired from his journey, and he's being chased. And imagine what people are going through, what's going through his mind. He's going to a new city, he's going to be settling in his new city. I'm sure he's tired, but he's always in a mood of da'wah. He's always benefiting people. So the Prophet says to him, the first thing that came out of his mouth, he says, "Oh people, spread afshus salam, spread the salam, spread the greetings of salam and the greetings of peace to people, to one another. Wa atimu ta'am, and feed each other. Feed the poor, feed each other, give da'wah to each other, give food, send food to each other." And this is something, alhamdulillah, we see in the blessed month of Ramadan, that a lot of people try to do is send iftar to each other, send, you know, samosas and that kind of stuff, samosas and pakora and that kind of stuff, dates, you know, sending it to each other's houses. That's something that the Prophet always said, atimu ta'am, feed each other. Okay, there's a lot of blessing in that. Wasilu al-arham, and keep the ties of kinship. Wasallu bil-layl wan-nasu niyam, and pray in the time of night when the people are sleeping. What will you get in recompense of this? Tadkhulu al-jannah bi-salam. You will enter into Jannah with peace. You will enter into, with security, you will enter into Jannah. Now, Abdullah ibn Salam, he goes on to another hadith, in Sahih Bukhari. He says, I went to the Prophet ﷺ. He became Muslim. And Abdullah ibn Salam, one thing to know about him, his name was not Abdullah. His name was actually Hussein, with a sad, not a seen. So we have Hussein, the son of Ali, but you have Hussein with a sad. This is from Hisn. Hisn is like a fortress. So Hussein, you could say like a small fortress. The Prophet actually changed his name to Abdullah. So Abdullah ibn Salam, he says, I went to the Prophet to visit him, and he became Muslim. And then a large group of Jews were approaching to meet the Prophet. So Abdullah ibn Salam, he says to the Prophet that, let me go hide in the room, in a back room, and let's see what these people have to say about me. Ask them what they have to say about me. So the Prophet does that. He asks this group of Jews, that what do you have to say about Abdullah ibn Salam? They say that he is our leader and the son of our leader. And he is the best amongst us and the son of the best amongst us. Meaning that they had nothing but good to say about Abdullah ibn Salam. Abdullah ibn Salam, at that queue, he comes out and he's saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. So he says that, I bear witness. He says the Shahada in front of them. As soon as he says that, he tells them that, why don't you accept, this is the final prophet that we have been waiting for, so become Muslim. And they said right there that you are the worst amongst us and the son of the worst. And they start swearing at him, and they said, we'll never follow you. So you see how they change all of a sudden because of their hasad. And a similar incident, I'll end this with this inshallah, similar incident with Maymun ibn Yamin, radiallahu anhu. He was also one of the Jewish rabbis. And he came and he hid in a, after accepting Islam, he hid in one of the rooms, or in like in a back room. And a group of Jews came to meet the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ asked them, what do you say about this person? He says to them that, why don't you accept Islam? And, why don't you appoint someone yourself to be an arbitrator and choose a person, and then whatever he says goes. Basically, you accept whatever he says. And they actually themselves choose Maymun radhiyallahu anhu as their leader, because they knew he was one of the Jewish rabbis. So they said that, we choose him as our arbitrator. Whatever he says goes. We'll listen to whatever he decides. So let's call him and ask him what he says about you. And the Prophet calls him out. And he comes out of the room and he says the Shahada. He says, I have accepted Islam. Why don't you also accept Islam? And they reject him right away. Even though they themselves said, we will follow whatever he has to say, but they reject that. So again and again, they reject it out of their hasad, out of their jealousy to the Prophet ﷺ. So we ask Allah to give us the tawfiq, inshallah, to be of those who accept the message of the Prophet ﷺ without any type of conditions, any stipulations, anything like that, wholeheartedly accept that and bring that into our lives, inshallah. Practice, inshallah. So we'll stop there, inshallah. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Salamun ala mursalin, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Inshallah, next week we'll continue with Monday after Asr, inshallah. JazakAllah khair.